Bienvenidos a todos. Welcome to everybody.
In English.
I said it in English as well. We are so grateful to be here with you guys today. This is a very special Sunday for us because, as many of you know, two groups from you have come to serve alongside of us.
I know. I saw some celebrities in that video. I feel
like. Did you guys see the celebrities that popped
Teresa
up in
asked
there?
Us, "Where's my royalty check?"
I know.
You'll get it in the kingdom of heaven. I think
there you go. It'll be right there. Absolutely. Well, as many of you know, but I will just go ahead and restate, we are, first of all, a family of five. As a mom, I have to talk about my kids. So our kids are Katie, Anna, and Isaac, and they get to be downstairs this morning with your students as well and are very, very happy to be here. And we are just so grateful that you guys have always supported not just Joe and I, but our children as well. I know many of you pray for our children, and many of you have made connections with our children, and we just want to say thank you again for that. As missionaries in Ecuador, we get to do a number of things. And so, as you saw in the video, we run a television station, which is kind of an outside-of-the-box missions
idea
project. But it is incredible to see how God takes who you are and what he's put in your hands to be able to allow you to be part of the kingdom and serve. Joe and I both come from business backgrounds, IT backgrounds, and he has placed us in Ecuador to use those talents to advance the kingdom.
Well, and really, the television station is just a tool for another aspect of what we get to do, which is the ministry center. So you can talk a little bit about what the TV station, how it allows us to get into places.
Yep. So we use the brand of the television station, which is the number one television station in a city of 700,000 people. So it has quite a reach, both through the broadcast, but also online through social media. As many of you know, that's where everything is going now. So we are able to reach outside even of our own city. So we create high-quality programming, and then we insert the message of hope in between it. We insert invitations to our completely free counseling center. We insert ways that people can connect with God and connect with their churches. And then we have volunteers from the churches in our community come into the center, and we form evangelism groups and outreach groups. So every single week, we get to be in parks and plazas and in hospitals and
prisons,
special needs centers, juvenile detention centers, orphanages. We have incredible reach because of the brand of this TV station. So God has just placed something incredible in our hands, but we know that we don't do it alone. So we are so, so grateful for what you guys have done to come alongside of us and support us.
Yeah.
And come be with us.
Be with us. You know, at the end of that video, I asked the question, how can we go further? And it's a challenging question. But the need is there. There's a great need, not just in Ecuador, all over the world. So the question is, how in missions, how can we go further? And I believe the church is the answer. Because the church is God's plan, amen? It has always been God's plan. It will continue to be God's plan. The church is the answer. And Jesus said it's the answer until his name is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And I want to tell you guys, you have a great church. Maybe you don't realize that. You are blessed to have not just a great building. I was talking to somebody in the lobby, and I was like, man, this church just has such a good, like, spirit, a good vibe. Like, you walk in, and you just go, I want to be here. This is a cool place. So be blessed. And we get to go to a lot of churches, right? That's part of, like, when we're in the States, it's a different church every Sunday. So sometimes you walk in, and it's like, oh. And other times you walk in, and it's like, oh, this could be home. This is such a good church. So, and on top of that, you know, we were in Ecuador for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You guys are the only church in Oregon that sent teams to us. Oregon Ministry Network did some stuff. We had an AIM team. We received some youth. We had a couple women's ministry teams. That's great. Bethel Church is the only Oregon church that sent teams, and you guys sent two teams. So thank you. Thank you. It's for us, what a privilege it is to be here. So we want to get into the Word a little bit today. We're going to tell you some stories, but we also want to share God's Word with you. And we want to talk about, you know, I said the church is God's plan to see his name proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And we want to talk a little bit about what that plan looks like today. How many of you like to receive packages? Yeah? Isn't this a fun thing to come home to and you see one of these laying on your doorstep or one of these guys laying on your doorstep and it's like, all right, goodies. You know, we've become accustomed in this country, in the United States, to a level of convenience that is unprecedented. So I'm like a numbers nerd, and I had to look up statistics on how many packages are shipped and received in the United States. And the most recent stats I could find were from 2022, so two-year-old data. But in 2022, 21 billion, with a B, billion packages were delivered just in our country, in the United States. So think about that for just a minute. That's over 58 million packages every day delivered to homes and businesses around this country. So the number of delivery trucks and fulfillment centers and shipping containers and airplanes and semis, all the things that it requires, all the infrastructure that we have developed as a nation to get a box from point A to point B is just incredible. It's amazing.
And we as the church, we are also in the shipping business. But our package is a little bit different, and it is so much more important than a cardboard box. We believe that we are positioned and prepared to change countless lives through our sending. In John 20:21, Jesus talks about the business of shipping and sending. He says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So I want us to think for a moment about the purpose of sending something. What is the purpose of a package? If you think for a second, I want everybody to think for a second about the last package that they received. Got it in your head? Everyone can think about the last package that you received, what the contents of that package were. Maybe it was a gift from a loved one. Maybe it was a fun gadget or a fall decoration. Something to make the house cozy.
We've received a lot of packages since
we don't have Amazon in Ecuador. Yeah. Your teams have been Amazon for us.
Yeah,
just FYI, they have brought us everything from socks to fun things. So thank you. But how many of you can remember the contents of that last package? The majority of us would say, yes, I can remember the contents of that last package, right?
Okay, but then another question. How many of you can remember what the package looked like? Box like that, but do you remember the dimensions? Do you remember if there was a rip on the corner? Do you remember maybe the number that was on the barcode? No, right? Because who cares? It's just the box. I want what's inside. So the point is, it's the contents of the package that matter. And Jesus said in that scripture that Emily just read in John 20:21, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So as we read that, we thought, man, Jesus came with a purpose. He was sent with a purpose. And we began to think about what was that purpose. And we could go a lot of different directions there. But I think a good purpose, a good verse that sums it up is in John 14:8-9. This was just before Jesus went to the cross. So he'd been with the disciples for several years at this point. And Philip says to him, "Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?"
Because everything that Jesus did, everything he did was a reflection of the Father, a revelation of God's character to his people that he loved. It was a demonstration of who the Father was. That is why Jesus came. Those were the contents of the package that Jesus came to deliver.
Yeah.
He said, "Show the world that I love them. Show them that they were made for a purpose. Show them that I am full of grace and mercy and have a way to forgive them." And Jesus came to reveal that. Mm-hmm. Those were the contents. So it's interesting to think about Jesus as the package, because we all know that he came to deliver a message. And again, the important part of the package is what is inside. We don't want to be so focused on the outside of the package that we devalue or miss the contents. That is why Jesus came in such a humble form. He came, just as the prophet Isaiah said, as he was prophesying and anticipating the arrival of Jesus. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not.
So This is such an interesting scripture because Isaiah wrote this. I need to look up the number, but I think it was something like 400 years before Jesus came. And he was talking about how Jesus would be sent. So we have to understand this was by design. Jesus came in humble form by design. God could have sent him as a king. He could have sent him with riches and power and authority and all of the things necessary to make humanity go, wow, look at that guy. He's got the newest Tesla Cybertruck or what, you know what I mean? Like all those things that just make you go, wow, he really stands out. But he didn't. You know, he sent him. He was born in a manger out, and there was no room for him in the inn. So he was literally born into poverty. He was born into scandal because people thought that Mary had had an affair. He was the son of a humble carpenter. He was just a package. But because that package was so plain, because it was just, you know, a simple box, the contents, the thing that was inside of it, shone through so much more brightly because people were going, who is this guy? How could something so amazing and so good come out of something so simple and so plain and so humble? So Jesus was sent with this purpose, and that purpose was not to make himself into something great. It wasn't to make his name known. God didn't say to Jesus, go and rule and reign and conquer the world and show them how great you are. No, he said, go and reveal my heart. Go and show them who I am. So Jesus came and he walked in humility. He served. He loved. He was gracious. He was kind. He was forgiving. He showed us the heart of the Father. And the irony is that in doing so, in living in this humble, servant-minded way, he became the greatest man that ever lived. And his name became, like the scripture says, the name above all names, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because he came as a simple package with something really, really important inside. So again, our verse this morning, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.
What an example we have in Jesus. He showed us how to do missions. He walked in humility, so we walk in humility. He served, so we serve. He loved, so we love. He forgave, so we forgive. We show people around us, just as Jesus did, that we have something great inside of us. And that is the presence of Jesus, right? Because just as Jesus was sent by the Father to reveal the Father to the world, now Jesus has sent us to reveal Jesus to this world. It doesn't mean that we are important as the package. The package is not the important part. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we now have this light in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. Who feels like a fragile clay jar? Often feel like a fragile clay jar containing this great treasure that makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Have you guys ever noticed that something really, really expensive on Amazon can come in the same exact box as something super, super cheap? This box could show up on your doorstep, and it might have something like toenail clippers inside, something worth a dollar. It might have something super, super cheap. Or it might have a $1,500 cell phone inside the package. The box doesn't matter. It's not about the package. It's about what's inside of the package. Mm-hmm. So Jesus sends us out too, as a fragile clay jar or as a simple cardboard box, not because we are great, but because there is something great inside of us that we need to share with the world. It is not about me. It's not about us. It's not about you. It is not about us. We carry this message to share with the people that there is a possibility for a relationship with the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. That is the power that God has given us, reconciliation. We tell people of God's love, of his grace, of his forgiveness, of his acceptance. We tell them that they can have that connection with the Father, that they were made for that connection with the Father.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, the church, us together, we're the chosen delivery method that Jesus in his infinite wisdom said, this is going to be the best way. It doesn't make sense because it seems like it'd be better to send angels through the skies proclaiming, you know, but he said, no, it's the church. Yeah. The church is how we're going to do it. So for me, I look at that and go, wow, what an honor. What a privilege. What a responsibility to be tasked with this great commission of Jesus, to go out and proclaim his name and to teach people all the things that he said. I want to be, like I look, since we started developing this thought and this message, I look at FedEx trucks and UPS trucks and the Amazon trucks now with a little different light. Like, I want to be like the best delivery guy that there can be, you know? Because I know the reality is just like we sit at home, if you order something that you really want, you're like watching that tracking number, right? Like, ooh, it's out for delivery. Ooh, it's 10 stops away. Like, I want that thing. And the truth is, there are people in this world that are waiting with bated breath. Like, I want hope. Would somebody just bring me hope? And we get to be those people that deliver it. So we have a couple stories we want to share with you this morning. We like to share stories about individual people that God's allowed us to touch, because I think those individual stories connect really well with our hearts and with our minds. We could give you statistics on all the things that the Lord's done, and if somebody's a numbers geek and they want to talk to us afterwards about numbers of counseling appointments and numbers of salvations, I have all the spreadsheets because I track that stuff. We love to track those numbers and see to make sure that we're being effective, but it's the stories that really connect. So tell us the story about, let's start with the story about Maria, because this is such a powerful example of how God can use a television station to get someone's attention and bring them in.
So like we said before, in between our programming, in between our news sections, and in between the cooking show and everything else, we insert these messages of hope and these invitations to our counseling center. So one day, a lady named Maria was watching on the television, and she was in a hard place. She was in a really hard place. She was a single mom with a 5-year-old daughter, and it was right before Christmas, and she didn't know how she was going to make ends meet. And more than that, because of her story, because of the things that she had walked through, she was wondering if it was even worth it, if life was even worth it. And as she's watching on the television station, she saw an invitation to talk to somebody, just to share her story. And she made the choice to walk through our doors. We were able to receive Maria. She was able to receive counseling. She was able to tell her story, to share with somebody, to sit in a room, have somebody hold her hands and listen to her. In that day, we not only got to talk to Maria, hear her story, we also got to provide her with rice and sugar and we have a food closet, thanks to those that give, and we are able to give them necessities. We're able to give her daughter a Christmas box and a Christmas toy. And after 3 times with us.
So she came back, right? She came the first time, and then she was like, well, that was good.
Yep. And after 3 counseling sessions, Maria gave her heart to the Lord. She changed the trajectory of her life.
And her daughter's life.
And her daughter's life. Because she received that delivery of hope that came at just the right time that only God can design. Only God knows when that heart needs to hear. And his Holy Spirit so perfectly designs those messages. And we get to be part of the delivery system.
Yeah.
We get to be part of how it gets to her.
And in that story, it wasn't even Emily and I directly giving counseling. We have a team that we're able to come alongside and equip to do that work. But it's just amazing to see what God does. I'll share a quick story about something that happened. You know, we have the TV station. We also are the pastors of the worship team at our church. And I share this story because a lot of times people say, well, what is missions work? What does it mean to be a missionary? Really, to be a missionary means you're just living somewhere else. God called us to go somewhere else and just live and be faithful to him in Ecuador, in our case, just like we would be if we were living here. So this story happened in our church. We were doing a Christmas pageant, And I was there just to help with sound. And one of my, I had a guy that was relatively new to the faith, and he was looking for somewhere to get connected in the church. And he sang, and he plays bass. So he came and said, "Can I join the worship team?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, come to practice, and we'll start to fit you in." Well, he'd been with us maybe 3-4 months. Again, very new believer. And that day, he was there for the pageant. His name's William. And but he didn't have anything to do in the pageant. He just wanted to come and hang out. He wanted to be in the church. And I said, "Well, William, come up to the sound booth with me, and I'll show you how the console works and start teaching you some of the things." So as we're standing there, he goes, "Pastor Joe, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, the other day, I was driving home from Loja, which is like 3 hours south of us." And he goes, "I was playing some worship music in the car, and all of a sudden, I started to feel..." I was confused because this is all happening in Spanish. And Spanish is like, I do okay, but it was... But he said, what I understood him to say was, "I started to feel really sad." And I go, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "I started to cry, and I didn't understand what was happening." And I go, "Well, did it feel good or did it feel bad?" He's like, "It felt really good, but I was crying. It didn't make sense." So as I start to probe a little bit, I'm like, "William, that was the Holy Spirit. You had an encounter with the Holy Spirit." And he was like, "What?" So I get to tell this Ecuadorian guy, new believer, just by the simple fact that we were there, we were sent as a package, right? Just to be there and to live life alongside these guys. I get to tell him, "Yeah, that's what it feels like to encounter God's presence." And he said, "Can I do that again?" I'm like, "Yes, yes, you can." So actually in the video out on our table, there's a quick little clip of me sitting at the table. We have a bunch of people at our house. It's our worship team. And William is one of the guys at that table that I'm talking to. And it was a continuation of that conversation because he was just like, "How do I get more of that?" You know? So I love that simple little story. Tell us about Miguel. I think Miguel's another one that I want to share today.
I have to tell you, it's really hard for us to choose which stories we get to tell. Yeah. Because there are so many things that, you know, God's presence touches earth and it changes lives. And it's so amazing to be able to tell. So one of the things that we get to do is organize those teams for outreach for evangelism. So we have this group of about 4 or 5 ladies that every single week they go to one park. And every single week they go with little breads and a hot drink. And they go there just to start conversations. Conversations that intentionally lead to Jesus. And so we love this group of ladies, and they go every single week, and there was always this guy in there named Miguel. And you guys have seen in Oregon as well, we also have issues with those that are homeless or those that are choosing to live in the parks and the plazas and different places like that. So Miguel was one of those guys. He was usually drunk. He was usually under the influence, and he was always there. A lot of times he would be, at best... tease them, but he could be belligerent, he could be aggressive, but he was always there and never really wanted to talk until one day God ordained that his ears would be opened and those ladies would be there, and they were there to give him a hot drink and a piece of bread and begin a conversation with Miguel that led to his life being changed. He had been homeless for I don't know how long, but he had lost his job. He had been estranged from his family. And in the months that followed, we were able to help Miguel get a job. We were able to help him reunite with his family, get an apartment. And the most amazing thing for me now is he is one of our most faithful servants that goes back to that exact same plaza to share the hope that he found there. And his testimony is another delivery method and how God is now using him to proclaim the hope that he found.
Yeah, amazing, right? So, you know, as we were worshiping this morning too, this is a little, like, you guys get a little bonus this morning, and maybe it's for somebody you know that is feeling this way. One of the interesting things about switching to another culture, to another country, to another language, is you learn a lot about culture. And Latin culture in general is very focused on shame. Western culture, the culture that you all live in, that we all live in, is very focused on justice and forgiveness, right? So it's, I did something wrong, but I can be forgiven. I did something wrong, there's conviction, but I can ask for forgiveness and God's going to forgive me. In a shame culture, it's more focused on, I don't want to bring shame on myself, or if I have brought shame. And here's the difference. Guilt says you made a mistake. Shame says you are a mistake. It's like your identity. So in a case like Miguel, he's living the way that he's living because he feels like I am a mistake. There's no hope for me because look at me. I'm just a shameful person. So maybe this morning someone is feeling shame in their life. You know, in the Bible, we could quote all the verses that say there's no shame, there's no condemnation for him who is in Christ Jesus. If you feel that way, if you feel it like I am a mistake, that is a lie from the pit of hell. God designed every single person in this room, every single person in this world, they're made with a purpose. You are made with a purpose. And so as we were singing this morning, it was the song where, I don't even remember the name of the song, but it said, like the father runs to the son. It was alluding to the prodigal, you know? Think about that story. The prodigal son brought so much shame on his family, and he was living in a shame-based culture. So that was like when Jesus told that story, it was this radical to the people that were hearing it, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, like the law priest guys that were hearing that story. He was coming against the shame culture that they used to beat people to say, you are not worthy of going to heaven. And Jesus was saying, look at all these shameful, horrible things that this son did to his father. And the heart of God, when he sees his son in the distance, one, he was waiting. He's watching the road. I hope my son comes back. And then when he saw him, the father lifts up his robe and runs to his son to say, there's no shame. I love you. You are made with a purpose. You belong in my family. That's the God that we serve. So I don't know if that's for somebody this morning or if there's someone that you know that's wrestling with that shame in their life. They feel like they're a mistake, but they are not. And you can share that message with them to say, you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. So, okay, we got to keep moving. So those are just a few stories. Like I said, there's so many, it's hard to decide. But the point is not in the quality, or I'm sorry, the point is not in the quantity of the work that God is doing. I mean, through the church, through the TV station, through all the different things we get to be involved in, the point's not the quantity. It's that each person, each one of those stories is a successful delivery. Yeah. Amen? A delivery of hope. And the reality is it's a delivery from you all, from the church here in the United States to the people of Ecuador. And then that work is multiplicative. It's like they receive their package, they receive hope, their life gets changed, and they join into the business of sending. And it's an amazing thing. So again, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And like I said, it's an honor. It's a privilege for our family to be a part of this process. We want to say thank you to you guys again for supporting us, for sending teams to be with us and encourage us and join with us. But we also want to challenge you today to get involved in the sending if you're not already involved in some way. Participate. Continue. There's always room to grow, always room to advance. How, like I said in the video, how can we go further? Because this is the heart of God. Missions is the heart of God. So we want to ask you three questions this morning as we close. And this, you hear missionaries say this all the time, right? Pray, give, and go. Those are going to be our three closing things. But we have a little bit of a different spin on them, right? So the average American, like I told you, I'm a numbers nerd. The average American household, if you break down the numbers, receives 162 packages like this every year. 162. Emily thinks that number's kind of low. I think we've received 162 in the 4 weeks that we've been back in the United States. But so how can you pray? I just want to challenge us. Use these as a reminder. Every time one of these things shows up on your door, would you pray for missionaries? Would you pray for our family? Would you pray for the Ecuadorian people? Would you guys have a wall out there with missionary cards on it? Just think about missions. Pray. God, how can we support? How can we encourage? We've been, and this is our fifth church since we've been back in the United States, and I think in almost every single church that we've came to after being back, someone's walked up to us and said, I've been praying for you. And it's just like, it's amazing to realize. We had one guy walk up to us. I've never even met him. He said, it's so good to finally meet you. Someone gave me your prayer card. I've been praying for you every day for the last 5 years. And I just went, wow, wow. And I know that there's days when we're in Ecuador that I want to quit. And it's those prayers that hold us up. So every time you get one of these packages, just think of a missionary and pray with them. Pray for them. Yeah.
So the second question is, how can you support? How can you be part of that sending? Who here likes free shipping? We all like free shipping, right? To receive that banner, okay, you spend $25, you get free shipping, or maybe you need to spend a couple more dollars so that you can get the free shipping, so you add something else that's $20, and you get the free shipping, and it's exciting. Well, the truth is, free shipping doesn't exist. There never is free shipping. There is always a cost associated with the delivery of that package, but somebody else paid it for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what you guys get to do. You guys get to be part of that banner popping up on the delivery in Ecuador that somebody paid your free shipping. You guys get to pay for missionaries like us to go, for resources to be given, for things to get delivered so that those ladies in that plaza can deliver that hot bread and that hot drink and that conversation because you guys paid for the free shipping.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
But continue. Continue. I heard a statistic. I was at a event on Monday, and yeah, anyway, the statistic was this, something to the order of like 90% of the wealth of the Christian church in general in the entire world is right here in the United States. So if you break that down, there's how many people live in the U.S.? Like 300 million people live in the United States. So let's be generous and say 50% of the U.S. is Christian. That's probably really generous. So 150 million people hold like 90% of the wealth of the Christian church in the world. There's like 2 billion Christians in the world. So God has positioned us as the North American church to have resource, to be that free shipping, to take that message of hope around the world. And it's a privilege, but it's a responsibility this big. Okay, the last one as we finish this morning is, what if you go? What if you go? You know, I if you guys are like me, I often think of myself pretty low. Like, who am I? What? I'm nobody special. How can I make a difference? How can I impact someone's life? But that's the point. It's not about the box. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's that we have this precious treasure in jars of clay. So maybe you've told yourself in the past, if an opportunity for a short-term missions trip came up, what difference can I make? Or maybe you've felt that burden for a call to missions, like the Lord saying, go for 3 months or go for a year or go for a lifetime. And you thought, wow, but what difference can I make? I'm nobody special. Exactly. That's the point. You're nobody special. But you have something very special inside you. And I guarantee you, I mean, you guys saw clips in that video of, you saw tons of people from your church on there. I guarantee you, Teresa, there are kids in Ecuador that remember those moments with you. You made a difference in their lives. So even just to go for a week can make a difference in someone's life. So we just want to encourage you this morning, be receptive to that challenge to go. And again, don't listen to that lie that says, well, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. Because it's the power of God working through you that really brings change.
And we often get to tell our testimony. We don't get to do that whole thing this morning. But the reality of our testimony is we started out as two young kids who love Jesus, and we said yes. We said yes to scary things. We said yes to be part of the worship team. We said yes to serving in children's church. We said yes eventually to being youth pastors, which took us over a month because we did not want to say yes to that. But we began saying yes to little things as the Lord moved on our hearts. And we can honestly say to you standing up here that the yes when God called us to Ecuador, to say, yes, I will follow you to another continent, to another culture, to another language, was easier in so many ways than the original yeses to get up on the stage, to serve, to share with the person at work, to share with the cashier at the store. Those yeses are so important because in them, God reveals his faithfulness to you. And you know what it feels like, what it means to partner with the Holy Spirit as he says, go share with that person. Go love on that person. Go take them a meal. They're having a hard day. And you say yes, and your spirit is united with the Holy Spirit of God. And you get to serve alongside of him. That is addictive. You get used to that. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And that is where it begins. It begins with the little yeses. And you trust him, and he leads you into other things. And you just keep walking.
Yeah, so we want to pray over you guys this morning. Again, thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you for allowing us to share. Pastor Roger, thank you guys for hosting us. Can I pray? Is that okay? Can I pray for you guys? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for Bethel Church, Lord God. Thank you for all that you're doing in them and through them. The blessing that they are in this community, Lord. God, would you multiply it? Would you continue to lead and to guide? Would you continue to develop unity within their body, Lord God? What a testament, Lord, that for years they have functioned without a lead pastor. What a testament to the strength and the unity that exists in this church. God, would you multiply that? Lord, would you speak to every heart in this place? Show us, God, that it is you that does the work. Here in our local context, in the greater context around the globe, Lord, you are a God that sends because you are a God that loves. So, God, I pray that you would just continue to multiply and amplify the work that is happening through this church, through this body, so that your name can be made known to the ends of the earth. We thank you, Lord. We bless them. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.